John chapter 4. This next passage is verses 27 to 38. We need to remember before we read this that John was written that we might believe that Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the Christ. Some have asked, do we need to tell Gentiles that Jesus is the Christ, or does that just relate to Jews? Well, in this passage, it's a Samaritan that had to come to realize that Jesus is the Christ. So I think that would make sense that Gentiles also need to understand He's the Christ. And then when we see a Philippian jailer being told, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you see that throughout the New Testament. And I was thinking about the word Christ, Messiah. You take that all the way back actually to Adam and Eve. That was before there were any Hebrews or Jews or any of that. And they were promised one would come that would bruise the head of the serpent. That's the Christ, the Messiah. And so, yes, we do need to preach Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God. John was written that we might believe that Jesus is the Christ, that Jesus of Nazareth, an historical figure, that man Jesus, he's not just a man. He's the Christ. He's the anointed. He is the Son of God. And that believing Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing on Him, we might have life through His name. We have life through His name. This was written to the Lord's churches that we might be sure that we're believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and accurately preaching Him to every creature that others might believe. Now, I was struck this last week when I read through the book of John that there at the end, Jesus said to Thomas, who had said, I won't believe unless I see, and all. And he had previously been converted, and he had previously been baptized and was with the Lord, but then he wasn't believing that Jesus had already been raised from the dead. Those men knew he would be raised from the dead. They believed that. But I think they struggled with the idea it would be that quickly. I think they were thinking like at the end of the world, you know, the great resurrection. So Thomas was not believing that he had already been raised from the dead after just 3 days, 3 nights. And he said, I won't believe unless I see and feel, remember? Now the Lord is so gracious and patient with us. So gracious and patient. And he showed up and he said, Thomas, and Thomas said, Lord, my Lord and my God. He's saying, I do believe. Remember what Jesus said, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Think about that. John wrote John to people in Asia Minor who didn't ever get to see Jesus with these eyes. And he's saying, Jesus said to Thomas, there's a special blessing, a blessing for those that didn't see Him with these physical eyes and yet believed. And by the way, that's you and me, if you believe. And then I remember that Peter wrote this in 1 Peter 1, 6-9. He wrote, wherein ye greatly rejoice in Jesus, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. You're rejoicing right now, even though it's needed that you're in heaviness. You're weighted down. Why? By manyfold, various different types of temptations or trials. Wow. You're rejoicing in Jesus, even though God has your need being met. Oh, Lord, meet all my needs, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know what some of the needs might be? Heaviness. Manifold temptations. Please meet every need. Amen. That's good. Some of the needs are difficulties, because without any type of temptations, we never get endurance, patience. Don't get it without heaviness, without temptations. So, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, and I love that word season, because seasons are temporal, amen? Boy, that one we just had, I kind of wish it wasn't temporal. Some of you love fall, but see, fall's really tight with winter. And how can I be friends with some, you know, secondary separation. How can I be friends with someone that's that close to that guy? Because I don't like winter. So I'm in with summer. But I'm glad that seasons are temporal. Fall's here. Fall's all right. I don't like winter much. Winter, no thanks, but it's temporary. What's coming next? Springtime. And then summer. So though now for a season, it's temporary. And by the way, this whole life, there's seasons of life that are temporary. And life itself as a season is temporary. So wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, for a temporary time, if need be, this is a need being met, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, the testing, the trying of your faith, which is what? Your faith is much more precious than of gold that perisheth, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth. Who has got a gold ring on this morning? Okay, some gold rings all around the building. Oh, tremendous. Gold is great. And the Bible does, there's a standard in the Bible, the gold standard. And heaven has streets paved with gold. And all. So gold is good. It's a blessing. At the same time, the gold we have is perishing. It's perishing. I think it's precious. It's a precious metal. And there's significance there. There's they call it timeless and all, but ultimately it does perish. But your faith is much more precious than gold because your faith doesn't perish. Faith will give way to sight, but the faith doesn't perish. But the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, though your faith is tried with fire, the manifold temptations might be found unto praise and honor and glorying at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith on the earth? He will find, and anyone that has real legitimate gospel faith, by the grace of God, it will be found. Because Peter says here, your faith is being tried and it'll continue on because it's the real faith that endures, patiently endures. It'll be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. But listen to this phrase, whom having not seen ye love. Unlike Peter and Thomas, we never got to see Jesus. And they didn't. The churches of Galatia, Cappadocia, Bithynia, Asia, that he wrote to in 1 Peter, they didn't see Jesus with these eyes, but they loved him. And then Peter said, in whom though now ye see him not. What do you see now? Trial, difficulty, tough times, heaviness, faith being tried. That's what we see. But Peter said, in him though now ye see him not, yet believing. You're fully persuaded. You're committed to him, trusting that he's committed to you. Yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable. You can't even fully express it all. And full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. So, reading in John, remembering, it's written that we might believe, and we have a blessing in believing on him whom we have not seen. Just as Jesus said to Thomas, and just as we see in 1 Peter, that should encourage us today. Because you have not seen Jesus with these eyes. Neither has anyone else you've ever talked to. And neither has any kid that claims he went up to heaven and came back and wrote a book about it. And all that stuff. You haven't seen him. We haven't, but we believe him by faith. Faith worked by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. But in John 4, 27 to 38, and upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with a woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? Amazed, but no questions. The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Notice it's a question. We had to pay attention to the punctuation in the Bible. It makes a difference. He didn't say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. He didn't give a command there. He's getting them to think. And you get people to think often by asking questions, don't you? Did you catch what I did right there, anybody? Maybe I got you to think real quick by asking you a question. Don't you say that in 4 months harvest, behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal. This is a spiritual harvest. That both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored and ye are entered into their labors. Father, bless, I pray, and help us as we look at just a little bit of what I've studied. We pray it in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, the whole passage I think we could sum up like this. Jesus was satisfied and strengthened in doing all of his Father's will. I say he was satisfied in doing his Father's will. It was his meat, his food. He was strengthened in doing his Father's will. He actually didn't eat lunch, but there was strength in doing God's will. And I said all of his will because he said, I must finish his work. So Jesus was strengthened and satisfied in doing all his Father's will. His will, his work, my meat. It could be good to write that down. What I preached in Sunday school, you do God's will in your marriage. You do God's work in your marriage. You know what you'll have in your marriage? Satisfaction. And strength. It'll be meat to eat that other people know not of. You'll be blessed. In this context, Jesus is preaching the gospel to a woman. And he's saying to these men, as they have gone into town, they found McDonald's or whatever, you know, they went in there to find food, and they bring back, and he still hasn't eaten, and they're going, Master, you got to eat something. You are, maybe they're thinking like, we know you're the God-man, but you are the God-man. It says he got wearied. He sat down in the well. We know he got tired, hungry, thirsty, all of that. Master, eat something. I have meat to eat that you know not of. Meat in preaching the gospel. How many of you have ever been in the Bible and you were just getting so blessed you forgot to stop and eat breakfast or lunch or whatever? Like a personal Bible time. How many of you have ever been witnessing to someone or just sitting fellowshipping over spiritual things and you said, my goodness, we totally missed lunch? I'm sure every pastor has those times when they study, and they just get in the, quote, zone, you know, and they're just studying and they're writing down what they're learning. They're getting ready to preach. And I say, where did the time go? It's 5:00. I never ate. Wow, that happens. That happens. Or you've been witnessing and testifying to someone, and you're not even thinking about how you need to eat. You and I will find satisfaction and reason to rejoice in doing the Father's will. Now, why did we add in reason to rejoice? Jesus says, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. And then he tells the apostles, the 12, here's a harvest all ready to reap. And if you'll reap, he says, you will rejoice together. Verse 36, do you see that? Now, here in this context, it's about witnessing and seeing people saved and rejoicing. But I would submit to you, if every area of life were doing God's will, there's satisfaction and there will be cause to rejoice in every area of life. Even things like going to work. Does the Bible give us clear instruction in Ephesians and Colossians about, and even 1 Timothy, about how to regard our employer, our boss, supervisors? No, it does. And if you would go to work and do it that way, you'd be doing God's will from the heart. Serving the Lord Christ, it says there, and you would have meat to eat that other people would have no clue about. They'd be saying, what is wrong with you anyway? You work in the same place I work in, and you know, the same place, and nobody ever says the same wonderful employment. You work in the same place. You got the same boss I do. What's your problem? You're happy. You seem like you actually like it, and you just, you know, this whole 110% of the time and all, You're like really into all that. You're a company man, aren't you? You're trying to work your way up the ladder. You'll have meat to eat. They don't know anything about because you're serving Jesus, and there's joy in serving Jesus, and you'll have rejoicing. Whether it's the home or the job, toward your parents, toward your children, I really believe this. The little things we need to do around the house to be a blessing to the spouse and the kids and all. How many Christian ladies, you'd be transformed and your home would be transformed if you'd look at that, taking care of the house and governing the house and dealing with the children, if you'd look at all that as service to the Lord, as it truly is service to the Lord. And so I will do these things God's way. There will be meat to eat that other women would not understand. How can you find satisfaction in that? What are you, Amish or something? No, I'm saved. It's God's will for me to do these things. It strengthens me. It satisfies me. And there's rejoicing in it. And so Jesus had, we remember from a week ago, he went to Samaria. He needed to go to Samaria. He had compassion on a wicked Samaritan woman. Then he preached the gospel to her. And we learn from that, you ought to believe on Jesus who knows of your sin and who gives the living water. And he is the Messiah. And we ought to be preaching him as the Messiah who gives the living water. I'm going to close with this because we've had a long Sunday school and I've given plenty to think about right now. It's fascinating to me, Brother Gutch. While the disciples are gone, Jesus meets with a woman who is almost obsessed with getting physical water. I mean, she comes, she's trying to get it, and he's talking to her, and she just keeps thinking about the physical water. And then finally it's even, well, I want what you're giving, so I don't have to come down to this well again. She's just so temporally minded, just so focused on the here and now. And Jesus is very patient and has to get her directed to the spiritual water. At the same time, the disciples are concerned about physical food. And I'm not saying it's bad. You need food and water to live, right? I'm not criticizing them for going into town to rustle up lunch. But when they come back, they're still, here's a woman, a wicked Samaritan woman. Jesus is talking to her, and they're all thinking, what's he talking to her for? And they're thinking about the woman. What are you talking to him for? And none of them ask any question. Because it seems from the context, everything's focused on the hamburgers, the lunch. I mean, they come there and they're amazed. Upon this came his disciples and marveled. Yet no man said, what seekest thou of the woman? Or why talkest thou with her? Because everything in its time, and right now it's lunchtime. Right? Jesus is getting her off of the physical water. Let's get your attention on the spiritual water. Okay? Very patient dealing with her. They're fixated on physical food. Don't even humble themselves. Hey, Lord. You wouldn't say, hey, Lord. Lord, this is awesome. What, amazing. I mean, this is like we're marveling at this. This is hard for us to figure out, honestly. We're astounded. Why are you talking with her? Jesus could have instructed them. But they didn't ask that question. And then when she walks away, they say, Master, eat. He says, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Look at verse 33. So they say one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Now, Brother Dan, if you ever wonder, why didn't they ask him? I think it's part of the human tendency. Jesus is right here. You could ask him, why'd you talk with this lady? I'd rather figure it out on my own. I think there are a lot of things you ought to figure out on your own. I think part of being grown up is you don't pester people for every little thing in your life, you know. But there's some things you're not going to learn unless you ask. For some reason, they don't ask. Then when Jesus says, I have meat to eat that you know not of, okay, this is like flashing sign. This is an opportunity to ask a question. So they do. Not Jesus, they ask each other. Does someone bring him something to eat? What's he talking about anyway? Wonder what he means. That's kind of silly, isn't it? Isn't that kind of sad? They could have asked him, but they're still thinking about physical food. And yet Jesus, always patient, always loving, directs their attention to spiritual food. I'm glad he was so patient with them. It gives me confidence that he's patient with me. I might have been one of those guys. Man, I'm so proud of myself. I went and got food for Jesus. Here I come, man. I got it, Lord. Here it is. What are you doing? What's he doing talking with her? Well, I don't want to ask, because if I ask, that'll be an admission I don't know the answer, and I hate to not know the answers, you know. Maybe that was the motivation. Finally, Lord, hey, I got you this. Get it while it's hot. You know, here it is. I have me too that you know not of. What's he mean by that? Maybe I'd have been one of those guys. I know he's been very patient with me. Lost people need the well of water that never runs dry and springs up into everlasting life. You agree? Saved people have that well, and saved people need to keep on drinking. Amen. That's why it keeps springing up. We need to keep drinking. The meat is needed by saved people as well. I've got the well. I've got the water. I just got to keep drinking. Now I got to make sure I'm getting my meat. Meat in the Bible is typically a generic term for food. When the Bible wants you to know it's talking about flesh, it says flesh. Meat is in the Old Testament, little flowery cakes, you know, and all. So food. I've got the well, I'm saved. Spring up in everlasting life. Just keep drinking. Saved people also, though, need to eat the meat. What is the meat? That's the will of God that we do. Well, how do I know the will of God? It's revealed in Scripture. You know that. And it strengthens and satisfies. Now, would anyone agree that the world definitely knows about temporal pleasures? Oh, yes. There is pleasure in sin for a season. By the way, sin is not always just doing horrible, atrocious things. Sin is also not doing what God has told us to do. Is that right? To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. But there can be temporary pleasure in not doing something you ought to do. I'm not going to read my Bible and pray today, and I'm not going to tithe this week. And I'm feeling good about that because, hey, I got more time now for what I want to do, and I'll, okay, temporary pleasure, but it won't be meat to eat that you know not of. It won't be meat that'll satisfy, because that's just lust. Lust is never satisfied. Committing sins, sins of commission, can bring temporary pleasure, and the world knows that. The devil knows that. And that's what the world is big on. That's what the devil's big on. Do this, consume this, have this, be with this, be a part of this, go to this, give yourself this. It feels good. Sure it does. For a season. Is there satisfaction in any sin that any of you and I have ever committed? Temporary pleasure, yes. Satisfaction, no. You only get the well if you're saved. Then you have the well of water springing up in everlasting life continually. You're drinking of it and staying satisfied. And the only spiritual meat is going to be doing the will of God. Now, you know, a lot of people, they want spiritual meat. There's something wrong with their soul. They're lost. And they try drugs and beer, and they try what we talk about in Sunday school, all the fornication, and they try attention. They want attention from people. And they want to feel better psychologically and emotionally. And all these different things they try. They're trying to meet a spiritual need with flesh. You can't. That woman, remember, she wanted water and she wanted a man. Well, if you have a man, a woman like that, she's got clothing, she's got a place to sleep, she's got a roof over her head, she's got food and everything. Jesus is showing her, you're trying to meet these needs with physical, temporary pleasures. How about us as believers? Are you a believer? Do you have the well? Secondly, are you doing the work of God? There is not satisfaction going another way. Not in the marriage, not in the church, not in the out in the world working about, not in your job in any way. Your meat will be to do the will of Him that sent you and sent me. And in that context, it's preaching the gospel. If we're not busy in the gospel ministry as a church, we won't be a satisfied, strong church. And they had their opportunity that day. All these Samaritans are coming out. Jesus is saying, go get them. Go reap. And we have opportunity to preach the gospel and to give and send and to be involved. Let's stand together. And there's satisfaction there. You won't find it in these other things. You can find thrills and fun and pleasures temporarily in sin and in time wasting and in silliness and goofiness and all that stuff. Thrills and pleasures and fun times and all of that. And that's what the world wants you to think everything's all about. We're in a fun, pleasure-mad society. And we better get our kids unplugged from it. Better get them unplugged. And quite literally unplugged nowadays, amen? Get them unplugged from the big fun factory. And let's learn to have real satisfaction in serving. In serving the Lord. Well, that's the lesson Jesus was teaching them that day. That's obviously there's a lot more for me to preach from that, but that's good for now. Let's bow our heads. Do you have the well of water springing up into everlasting life? Have you been saved? What about you? Have you believed on Jesus and been born again? And Christian, can you say today, you're satisfied right now, you're strengthened right now, because you've been involved in the work and the will of God. If you're not, you're not satisfied and strong, but you could be. You could be. Father, help us, I pray, to repent and to get anything right with you that needs to be taken care of. We pray it in Jesus' name, amen.